Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at EricTalkStros. You can find my co-host, Brett, at H-Town Wheelhouse. And I'm also joined by Brandon Del Castillo. You can find him at The B-Ball Lawyer. And you can find the show at Locked On Astros. And you can get Locked On Astros on Podcast and App Himalaya, as well as Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify, and also radio.com. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast, Locked On Astros. And today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On Astros sent you.
We are here live. This is the Locked On Astros podcast. I'm H-Town Wheelhouse. Eric Heisman is our main host. I'm the co-host. Lance McCullers Jr. signs a five-year, $85 million contract extension for 5 years, I believe, bringing him, continuing to keep him in an Astros uniform until 2026. Great news for him. On the flip side, Carlos Correa was offered, apparently, according to John Heyman, who I'll just have to admit, not a big fan of Heyman, but he is all up in the Astros business. He basically reported that Carlos Correa was offered an extension of 6 years, 120. Correa probably did not like that offer. That's only about $20 million. We'll get to the Correa thing here in a second, but feeling pretty good about Lance McCullers staying in Astros uniform. I think that's probably about the best deal he could have gotten. I don't know that he could have gotten more on the free agent market, but he definitely maximized this deal, and Eric hit the nail on the head on last night's podcast saying that he would get some right at $17 million. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because that's about the going rate for a pitcher, especially somebody who's coming off of Tommy John surgery. He hasn't really stayed healthy a lot, and this is something that the Astros' Scott Boras clients, this is something that he typically doesn't do. He doesn't offer extensions before they become free agents. So this is something that was purely driven by Lance McCullers' desire to remain in Houston. And the fact that we talked about this on yesterday's podcast was the fact that this was going deep into last night, and this was reported by Chandler Rome, that this was definitely something that was something to kind of get excited about. And so I'm kind of pumped up about this, and I'm excited about this. And I was kind of shocked that it was for 5 years. I think I said it was going to be about a three-year deal for about $17 million per year. But I'm excited about this. And so we'll have to see what happens overall. But I'm glad that this is happening because now we have somebody besides just Framber Valdez and a whole bunch of other guys next year, because we know Zach Greinke's going to be free agent and Justin Verlander. So does anybody else want to step up and kind of offer their thoughts?
Go ahead, Nathan. Hey, yeah, welcome on.
I'm driving around right now listening. Good stuff. It sounds like a pretty good deal for the Astros, I think. Callers is solid. Kind of reminds me of the Mike Leake deal a few years ago, maybe more than a few years ago now. I think he got 5 for $80. So I think McCullers is better than Mike Leake was then. So I feel like that's a pretty solid deal for both parties. And I mean, he's like you guys said, he's kind of going to be the guy once Verlander and Greinke are gone. So I think that's pretty solid.
No, yeah, definitely. And I think for him, I think he's young enough. Thanks for chiming in, Nathan. We appreciate it. I see you. I think you're a Pittsburgh guy, so we do appreciate you joining the conversation. The thing with Lance McCullers Jr. is I think coming off of Tommy John and him feeling as strong as he is, that he has a very high chance of, you know, staying away from injury because he's probably built in a whole new routine. He talked to us on the podcast a couple weeks ago how he feels more prepared, how he's smarter, he's wiser. When he was young, the reason why he dealt with so many injuries is because he kept pushing himself. He didn't want to be overlooked. He's older, he's wiser. I mean, he's a dad now. I think that always helps people focus and become more mature, or so that seems to be the case most of the time. So for Lance signing this deal for 6 years is primo for him. I think the Astros do a great job because, like Eric said, that's right at market value. So you're not overpaying. You know, it's still painful to see guys like Bauer sign $40 million a year deals. It just does stuff like that just doesn't make sense to me. Pitchers getting that much money. So good job for Lance McCullers. And, you know, hey, like I said, maybe if Carlos Correa comes on the podcast, maybe he can also get signed and they can offer him a bigger deal.
And so is that the requirement? He has to come on the Locked On Astros podcast. Okay, so we need to communicate that to McCullers, and he needs to send that to Correa, and then Correa will come on there. So hey, that'll work.
We're one for one. We're batting 1,000 right now. So
some other things that starting next year in 2022. This is not considering the 2021 season, so this will not affect the luxury tax threshold. So this will not affect the luxury tax threshold this year. So the Astros will still stay under, and we'll have to talk about Steven Souza Jr. in a little bit. But Lance McCullers will still earn his $6.5 million this year, and his $85 million extension will start next year. And so that's $17 million AAV over 5 years. Brandon Del Castillo, welcome to the Locked On Astros podcast. How do you feel about this?
I'm pretty pumped, man. You know, we got a five-man rotation for next year. You know, that's exciting that we have our future kind of mapped out. And, you know, Lance is set. We didn't have to go over this year. It would have been nice to work in a Bregman type, you know, of a contract where you could get that AAV down to 15 for 6 years. But I understand why you can't do it until next year because you're trying to stay under this year. But hey, man, all things considered, I think it's a great deal. I'm really excited. I'm proud of Lance for getting what he got. That's pretty good money. I thought it was between 15 and 18 was the right number, and proud of George for getting what he got. And so all our boys, man, they're getting paid, and I'm proud of them.
This is H-Town Wheelhouse, and I want to tell you about rockauto.com. The ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock parts you need in your traditional chain storefront. Why endure the pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning of what part you need? Just go to rockauto.com. They're a family-owned business. They've been around for 20 years. They have all the parts you ever need and don't give a different price point like they do to professional mechanics at stores. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available. Right, Locked On and How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you amazing prices, reliably low prices, all the parts you'll ever need, rockauto.com.
Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on all the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, breaking news from Chandler Rome. This is the how the breakdown of the contract is, according to a person with knowledge, a.k.a. is it John Heyman? Who knows? But in 2022, it's going to be $15.25 million. Same thing in 2023. Then in 2024, it's going to be $17 million. 2025, same thing. 2026, same thing. 2021, though, he will get a $3.5 million signing bonus. And I believe that the signing bonus does not count against the luxury tax threshold. So that's not going to affect that as well. So he is getting some money this year to sign this extension. So that's how they're kind of wiggling under any future luxury tax issue. So that's how they're structuring the deal for the next 5 years. And they have their ace or co-ace, however you want to look at, Framber Valdez for the next 4 to 5 years as well.
Yeah, pretty exciting. That means Lance is going to make $10 million this year, 6.5 for his plus the $3.5 million signing bonus. Finagling that to stay under the luxury tax this year and still only have 17 per for the next 5 years. So I'm really excited about this. And now we can just all sit back and wait and see where Correa, what happens with Correa. But, you know, the reports out there are pretty encouraging, I think. Six at 20, hopefully that's their starting numbers. And if that's their starting numbers, then I don't have any problem with them starting there. You know, if I said it was going to take 10 at 25, you know, maybe it goes 8 at 28 is what I think I said to you, Eric. So, you know, I think that they're not that far apart as long as they're still working around those numbers.
Yeah, that's a little more optimistic than I thought you'd be. But I guess that you're right. If that's a starting point, that is, I guess, a starting point. But I think the Astros are looking more short term. Carlos Correa is looking for more of a long term deal with more a higher AAV. So they're going to have to find some way to stick in the middle.
Hey, so it's negotiations, right?
Yeah. So how do you think the whole Lance McCullers deal went through? Do you think that they started at this 5 years, $85 million, or you think that they started at maybe 4 years, $60 million or something like this?
They probably started at 4 years, 12. I mean, okay. That's how you negotiate, right? And I would bet that Boris had 6 years at 20.
Okay.
And so you negotiate back and forth and you try to come up with numbers that both can agree on. The Astros probably were never going to go at 6 years, 20, especially with Lance's injuries, you know, past injury history and given all the injuries to pitchers in general. So I would say they probably started at 4 years, 12. You know, the Astros probably wanted 15 a year. That's what they probably wanted. Boris was never going to do that. Boris probably wanted 18 a year or 18.5, which would be above, you know, right around what the qualifying offer is usually. And so I think this is a good deal for both sides. I think it's a very fair deal. So I'm happy. I'm happy for Lance. I'm happy for the Astros. Now let's move on.
I know we're all not really big John Heyman fans, but it seems like they're all in our business now. Steve and Brett, I know I mentioned this on yesterday's locker room, but it feels like that John Heyman came with James Click. It's like he's all in our business now all of a sudden. So this is pretty interesting. So hopefully the Astros can kind of come to a deal with Carlos Correa. If this is a starting point, I know when you came on our podcast last time, Brandon, do you feel like there's any – are you feeling more optimistic of a deal getting done with Carlos Correa?
Well, from the last time I was on the podcast, I'm feeling a ton better because the last time I came on, there weren't any negotiations – hadn't even started. Now we at least know they're at 6 years and $20 million, which, you know, if like I said, if as long as that's not their final number – I'm pretty optimistic that we can get something done. What do we have? 8 days, 7 days. So, you know, I think this is they're making progress. You know, Carlos now sees that his buddy, he knows Altuve and Bregman and Yordan and Lance are all going to be here for what, four or five more years at least. You know, it's a great, still a great foundation. It only encourages Carlos to come back now, you know, the money's got to be right. And I think if the Astros to go over 25, the years are going to have to come down. That's the game you have to play. So I'm sure the Carlos representation wants 12 years at $30 million. And the Astros, like we've seen, 6 years at 20. So where are they going to land in the middle of that? You know, is it, could it be 8 at 28 or 10 at 25? I think those are fair.
I'm glad, Brandon, that you're more hopeful about Correa. I'm just wondering if Correa realizes that his number is down from where it should be because of injuries. I'm sure he knows that, but now you wonder how hard he's willing to push. Like, if he really wants to stay, you wonder. So here's what I wondered. Now, it worked out for McCullers, right? But if you show your cards too soon, do you think it's almost like the Astros are like, yeah, but you said you wanted to be here for the rest of your life, so why won't you take this little bit of a discount? Do you think something like that comes into play here?
Yeah, obviously they'll use that, and I think both sides are gonna play that card. Look, I think this can get done. You put an opt-out after 4 years. You know, the opt-out seems to be in vogue in contracts now. You could even do it after, probably 4 years. He's 26. So, you know, either after 3 years or after 4 years, And that's a way you can get it done also. The number for me seems to be $25 million for 10 years. But if you did a little higher AAV, $28 million and lower years at eight, and then you throw in an opt out after the third or fourth year, I think that's how you can get it done also. You do 8 years at 28 with a opt out after the third year.
Look, folks, if you are betting on sports and you're not using betonline.ag, let me tell you, redirect yourself right now. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. Baseball will be starting soon as well. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time, updated odds and props on anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered with all the news, scores, odds, and the best way to place your bets. And it's free to sign up. Head to the website with your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code Locked On. This is H-John Wheelhouse, and we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is an amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup, you need to go vote today for Mint Brownie versus Coconut Puff. Coconut Puff is amazing, but Mint Brownie is probably one of my favorites. So go to BuiltBar.com or at Built_Bar on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 50% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best-tasting protein bar in the land.
The Locked On MLB Division Preview Series continues on to Locked On MLB Today. Every episode from now until the 31st features an in-depth look at every team in every division. It's all on the Locked On MLB podcast feed right now. Follow Locked On MLB on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast.
I know the Astros fans are looking at, I know both y'all are blocked by John Heyman, so y'all can't see his tweets, but I'm good because apparently I don't tweet at him. But and I think in 2019 or something, he signed a six-year, $120 million deal. So let's use Xander Bogaerts as a deal, as a kind of comparison. So well, let's not look at 2020, but 2019, he batted .309 with 33 homers and 117 RBIs. So if that's the type of player that Carlos Correa is, then I know he wasn't that type of player when he signed that deal, or I guess maybe he was. So, yeah, so maybe the Astros are looking at that type of player and saying, yeah, well, if the Red Sox can sign Bogaerts for 6 years, $120 million, with a 26 option for that 6 year vesting option, then we should be able to sign Carlos Correa for that. But I think the market has gone up, and there are going to be a whole bunch of shortstops that going available. I think Correa is one of the youngest available, but at the same time, he's the one who's probably played the least. He is the former number one pick. He has probably, I wouldn't say the most talent of them. That would be a very homerism of me, but I think that he is he hasn't tapped into his full potential yet. But I think the Astros desperately need him. And I think what we saw, Brandon, you could probably – I think we've talked about this, but he took up a leadership role last year on this Astros team. And so we really need him to kind of do that again this year. So it would be a shame to let him walk. And so hopefully they're able to do this. And so do you think Bogaerts is a good comparison for him?
No, I don't. It's a good comparison because of the player. I think you're right. But the timing of Bogaerts' deal is they were buying out the end of control years.
Okay. So, yeah, it's a rookie contract.
Yeah, it's a different contract signing, right? So what is Bogaerts making this year?
He's making 20. I believe he's making 20 because that's his app. Let me look. Yeah, he's making 20 this year.
That's all he's making is $20 million this year. What is he making the last year of his contract?
20. And his vesting option was 20. Like it's 20, it's like average 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. So,
well, that's a fantastic deal for the Red Sox. So good job for them. But I still don't think it's a very good comparison. I mean, Carlos Correa is going to want at least $25 million because of what George got. He can get $25 million on the open market, I think. He sees Tatis getting the huge money, and you know he is going to look at Tatis and say, "I'm just as good of a player." Now, has he put that? Has he put that up? I mean, you know, he's shown glimpses. He was on an MVP path 1 year before he got hurt, but has he put one full MVP season together like all the other shortstops that are going to be on the open market? No, he hasn't. You're talking about Corey Seager, who I think came in second 1 year. Trevor Story, who's always putting up big numbers. Javier Baez, even, you know, he's been down, but he even came in second, I believe, in MVP 1 year. So Lindor, I mean, you know, these guys have done it. They've put up the big time numbers. I don't think he's a $300 million player, but I just don't think Xander Bogart's contract is the one you compare it to. You know, you're going to have to probably compare it to Fernando Tatis and realistically what George Springer made.
All right. So speaking of Fernando Tatis, we have Javier Reyes of the Locked On Padres joining us. So how do you view Carlos Correa compared to all the free agent shortstops coming up?
All right. So that's a good question. And thank you for inviting me on stage, Eric. I appreciate it. I'm getting the 1,000 notifications. But I'd say compared to Correa, so next year, if I'm not mistaken, we've got Marcus Semien, Trevor Story, Correa. Now I'm blanking on the rest.
Lindor.
That's right. Lindor.
Corey Seager.
And Javi Baez, too. Oh, that's right. A lot of Puerto Rican power this offseason. Yeah, I think Correa. The thing about Correa is I don't like doing this type of I don't like using this type of like terminology, but this could really be like a contract year. I hate describing it as simple as that. I don't think that's always like real when it comes to judging why players do good or bad, but I'm curious to see how he kind of operates this season, you know? But I think that compared to those other guys, there's going to be a question of health, I think. I know that Corey Seager, like, missed an entire year and all that, but I think that Correa, basically, he's always been really solid, very good, but it feels like he hasn't put it all together. However, I think the thing potentially that could play to his favor is his youth. He's only 26, if I'm not mistaken. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. And you just saw what Tatis got. I don't think he's going to get what Tatis got, but I think that if he has the right season, if he pushes the right buttons and I guess just performs well enough, then he could be looking at a good deal. I think they've made an offer to them today, right?
Yeah, hopefully he signs before he puts up that massive season this year.
Yeah. I think it was a rumored offer. It was 120. It was 6 years for $120 million. So
hopefully a starting off point.
Yes. So do you think that's a little low offer, Javier, in your opinion, or you think that's kind of where you would see somebody who's injury prone as Carlos Correa?
What was the offer again? I'm sorry.
6 years for $120 million.
It's not bad. I mean, it's just I don't even think it's a low ball per se. It depends on the injury stuff, but and I think also for and like we said with all the shortstops going on the market, it probably doesn't play into Correa's favor. That the Astros might just be like, how about we just go and bring in, you know, I don't know if this would happen. I feel like the Dodgers are going to try their best, but like, let's just go and bring in Corey Seager. You know what I mean? Like, it's not do or die based on how many shortstops are available. Heck, maybe they want to trade for Trevor Story. I doubt they would do that. I could not see that, but it'd be interesting. It's not a bad offer. I feel like his ballpark range that he might be looking for is like in the 200 range, but I don't know how he's going to get that right now. And you look at his numbers and stuff, it feels like he hasn't put it together. He's a little Giancarlo Stanton of the shortstop position, you know what I mean? And in fairness, that could be meaning, if history repeats itself, that he'll have that MVP quality season like Giancarlo Stanton did. But I think the health concerns are really an issue, and it feels like we're on year like five of expecting what just my guy Tatis did in just like 1 year. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like we're consistently waiting for that unbelievable season where it's just like, yeah, there's a reason why this guy was a top prospect at one point. He came up, was pretty good in his debut, just immediately great, but it's never been quite so amazing. Although, granted, they didn't win the World Series. So, in a way, you can't ask for too much more, honestly, if you're an Astros fan.
I mean, he always shows up in the playoffs. That's the thing with Correa.
Yeah, he's a gamer. He's a gamer. He was awesome last year, and he embraced the villainy perspective, I guess you could say.
Leadership.
He was
role.
Awesome. Yeah, like batting like 360, had like 8 homers or something crazy like that. Absolutely torched teams. Like, he really, really did. And, you know, not everybody else on the team did that. So I think that they're going to try and get a deal done personally. I don't know enough about kind of the Astros and their negotiations with him. But I think it's one of those storylines that's definitely worth monitoring. I know people hate the Astros, and I think that the hate is honestly subsiding a little bit.
Hey, real quick, what do you think about the Astros personally?
What do I think about the Astros? I'm over it. You know what I mean? Like, look, it was, and by the way, I say I'm over it. And if something else pops up, if for some reason we get more stories on it, if Correa himself starts bringing it up, if he holds a press conference tomorrow and he's like, yeah, that's right, we're back at it, baby. All you guys, we're going to win it all this year. Like, I could see that, but the thing people, I think, forget about Houston, which I've talked about a little bit on my pod, like, one of the things I don't like about when teams become hated in sports, everyone, including sometimes the fan base, by the way, and I'm not saying you, Eric, but they're like, oh, you hate us just because you ain't us and because we're winning. I think that that's rarely the case. There's actually quite a laundry list of reasons why the Astros became what they were, right? And people are forgetting that. Very likable team before this. I really like Bregman. I think he's a great personality to a degree. I think he's really cool, nice guy. I think Correa is awesome. I just said Puerto Rican power, so I have to root for him by default. I wasn't allowed to root for him last year because, you know, so he was temporarily – I talked with the Puerto Rican Alliance, don't worry. I'm one of the head chairmen, and we said we can't root for him this year. But now we're back to normal. He's getting back there. He served his suspension, I guess. But it was a really likable team. Verlander gets his World Series win. You know, Zach Greinke people are rooting for too. There's a lot of reasons that people liked the Astros. So I don't like this thing where people, oh, this is just because they started winning and they hate that they started winning. It's not that. There's a lot more reasons that we don't have to get into on here because this is your guys' show. I don't want to, like, lambasted, you know, smidge your team. But I am at the point where I personally am over it. But in a way, it's not for me to decide. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not for me to decide when other players, if they should be annoyed at them. I imagine it's still going to be there with the Yankees and the Dodgers. I personally did not like the Joe Kelly thing last year. I wasn't like obviously you do something like that was going to happen, but I'm not into the whole, I don't care what the circumstances, you don't throw off somebody's head. That's just dangerous and stupid, to be honest with you. And I don't like that we're all cheering that. Like, I'm just never pro throwing at someone's skull. Like, come on, guys. At least I think a lot more problems with the rest of the world, if we're being honest, aside from just the Astros and trash cans and all that. And yeah, the trash can joke is just, it's old, man. You know what I mean? Like, at least, be a little more creative. You know what I mean? Like, the slander hasn't been good anymore.
So, have we seen a change of, I don't know if philosophy is the right word, but the Astros have not, especially in the Jim Crane ownership, given long-term deals to pitchers. The longest one has been Scott Feldman, of all people, a 3-year, $30 million deal. And then they did Justin Verlander's 2-year, $66 million extension. So this Lance McCullers 5-year, $85 million deal is the biggest that we've given, the Astros have given out in a long time. Is this just because it's Lance McCullers and his desire to stay here, Brandon, or is this a change in times, or what do you think this means for Houston Astros?
I think it has a lot to do with who it is. It's Lance. It's one of your own. And people forget how young Lance is. So you're not really dealing with an older pitcher. This guy is about to go into his prime. You know, he's dealt with the injuries in the past, But the last, you know, last year he showed that he was healthy. He probably could have gone up, you know, a full season the way he was pitching. And so, you know, moving forward, you hope that Tommy John and the injuries are behind him. This is – he also – he pitched through all those playoffs with a tear in his arm, at, you know, that 17, 18, 19 – I mean, 17, 18, he pitched with a tear in his arm. And he pitched pretty freaking well in the postseason. So this is a guy that he's gone to the mat for you. He's one of your own. And so I think that's why – and the youth, again, his age is another reason why I think you're seeing the 5 years. I think it's a great deal. $17 million, I think it was perfect, exactly where it needed to be for both sides. You know, obviously Boris and his client, they probably wanted – you know, between 18 and 20, the Astros probably wanted to be closer to 12, between 12 and 15. But 17, I think, is the right number.
This is also kind of risky. I know that this is his second year off of Tommy John surgery. So this is something that the Astros are taking a risk with. But at the same time, I think that they feel confident with. And by the way, I did see a tweet earlier. Jacob DeRizzi has given up consecutive first inning homers to Josh Bell and Ryan Zimmerman, so
it's his
welcome
first
to Houston.
Start. It's his first start.
Go ahead, break. Steve. All right, Steve, what do you want to say about Carlos Correa or Lance McCullers?
I'm thrilled they got the deal done with Lance. And in my opinion, I pretty much agree with Brandon on most all he said. Yeah, I think it was a fair deal and for both sides. And I'm really happy it got done. I think the Correa deal will fall into place now. I think with Correa, I think $25 million is the number. I think it's just going to have to be negotiating how many years, either six or eight. I can't see the Astros going 8 years, but I would be willing for them to go 8 years on it to get him up to $200 million. I think he'd be happy with that.
Well, I don't think the Astros wanted to go – wasn't it 5 years for Josh Reddick? Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, it was 4 years for Josh Reddick.
Yeah, they wanted 3 years, but what did they have to do to get Josh Reddick? They went that fourth year. So sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get the player you want.
You know what? People bash him, but his defense, his leadership in the clubhouse, his veteran, especially in 17, his veteran presence, his bat from the left-hand side, you didn't want to give that fourth year, but I think the contract worked out. I would say in the end it worked out for the Astros, which is, again, remember what Heyman said, idiot Heyman said it was going to be a horrible signing, and it was awesome. It worked out great.
Yeah, we actually had somebody else on our show, you remember who I'm talking about, who said that would be a terrible deal. And I know that Scott Boras also had Xander Bogaerts and Steven Strasburg also signed extensions before they
he also had a 5-4 second baseman signing.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. So yeah, so maybe it's just the Astros thing. So I think this means for next year, Brandon, with Zach Greinke and Justin Verlander, do you see either one of them returning?
I don't see Zach Greinke coming back at all. I just can't see that. Unless for some reason he was going to take like a $5 to $7 million deal. But I think there's a chance that Justin Verlander would come back. He's got a really good relationship with the team, especially Brent Strom. You know, I think now with Lance signing and Odorizzi being here and the depth, this is still a really good team. The foundation is solid. You know, this is something that I think that person you were referring to earlier said would be over by 2021-22. The foundation is going to be there for four more years. Altuve, Bregman, Yordan, Kyle Tucker, Michael Brantley's back for two more years. We have five starters that we can count on for next year. You know, if Justin Verlander signs back, then that pushes Urquidy to your number five, and you can put Javier in as depth or as a big time reliever next year. So, you know, I think there is a chance Verlander would come back. You know, at his age, how much is he really going to get on the open market
after Tommy John? Yeah.
So I think you know, because he has the relationship here, he may be willing to come back. And I think there might be mutual, it might be mutual by the Astros as well. So you might see JV back, depending on how much he wants to come back.
All right, to kind of close things off, happy trails to Steven Souza. He was granted his release today. He's a free agent. And so who do you think this opens the door for, make the team as the fourth outfielder?
Well, I think Jose Siri has the leg up. I really like Roble Garcia, but I think right at this point is probably more of a Ledmus Diaz, Abraham Toro kind of guy. So I think really Jose Siri is going to make the team. It would look like. What do you think, Eric?
I would think so. I think Heyman's been all in on Robles, but we'll have to see. Maybe that's who Click likes, and he's been telling Heyman. So I think there's something there, because it seems like Heyman's been all in Astros business ever since then. So
yeah, I mean, I personally like Roble Garcia because he can play the infield and outfield.
Right.
He gives you that option. He has the experience with the Cubs, the major league experience. So maybe it comes down to options. It doesn't really matter, but but I like both of them, to be honest with you.
Well, congrats to Lance McCullers. He now goes from 6.5, or I guess add the 3.5 to 10 million. So he's at 10 million this year. He's going to, what did I say, 14.5? Yeah, 14.5 next year, or whatever I said earlier. So he's not going to be struggling financially. And so hopefully the next person who won't be struggling financially is Carlos Correa, because it'll be a mistake for the Astros to let this guy go. But at the same time, they're going to be having to make some decisions down the road as well with Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve. But that's down the road. Right now, they need to focus on Carlos Correa, because if they don't sign him now, he's probably going to end up walking, because the Astros, once they hit free agency, they can't seem to keep him around. So, Brandon, go ahead.
We got our Rule 5 pick back from the Angels as well.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Who it was somebody Rivera, right?
Jose Alberto Rivera.
Yes. All righty. Well, thank you for joining, Brandon. Have a good night. Steve, as always, thank you for joining, and go Astros.
Go Stros.